Hiya, pals! Hi, pals, and welcome to the Disneyland Paris show. Here's your hosts, Lucy, Chris, and Hugh.
Gosh!
And now, Disneyland Paris news.
New attraction posters celebrating the 30th anniversary have appeared on construction walls throughout the resort.
Disneyland Paris celebrated Polka Dot Day this Saturday with a special meet and greet from Minnie and projections on the Tower of Terror.
Multi-day tickets are available for the first time since the reopening. The French government has announced changes to vaccine requirements from the 24th of January.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, Disney fans. And before we start, you need to know that I just bit my own tongue really hard during the word polka dot.
I once
don't say it again.
I once bit my tongue so hard it made an audible crunch.
I once bit my tongue so hard it forks on the front for about 2 months.
That explains it.
I was quite drunk at the time.
Voldemort. Mine was only a little nick on the side, but I suspect that's going to irritate me for the whole show, so look forward to that. Right, guys, we've got lots of fun things coming up today. Right. Disneyland Paris social media team have teased an exciting announcement for tomorrow. We don't know what it is, but we're going to speculate what it might be. More about that later.
I just can't imagine what it is.
Our armchair imagineering we're going to do today is we are coming up with ideas to revive and refresh Discoveryland. So I'm looking forward to that. Chris entered our wing today with, I've got a brilliant idea for Discoveryland.
It might be brilliant.
And I said, oh, I thought we were going to do that next week now. We'll see.
You were given 21 minutes to come up with something.
Yeah, which
amazing.
Is longer than I, because I spent the whole drive here from my wing to your wing.
Yeah, but I was very busy ruining Chris's drink and making it too strong for him.
He has made it too strong.
But first, the news. So, there's not much today, so I'm just going to whack it. Oh.
That was a very delayed bong. I pressed that button about 5 minutes ago.
Bonus bong.
Okay, so, right, let's start with these posters. Now, this isn't really news. It's posters on construction walls, which we see all the time. But I personally wanted them up because they're so pretty. Chris, can you show us?
I can. I've forgotten my mouse today. I've left it in my wing. So changing pictures is going to involve me stretching like this.
That's fine. There's dozens of them in actual fact. I think I've just put 4 up here. And they're based around Disneyland Paris attractions and lands. There are some that are just Adventureland and Frontierland, etc. And they're kind of in pink and purple and blue hues. I'm going to blame the tongue every time I get a misspeak today. And they're really kind of simplistic and geometric, I suppose, and just gorgeous.
Pretty. Can you buy them?
I hope so, because these are 30th anniversary things, and if they sold them as a pack of prints the way they did at the 25th anniversary, then, well, yeah. Take my money.
Claire and Mark in the chat seem to like them. I'm not as keen as you two.
Yeah. Well, you haven't seen the Small World one yet, though, have you?
I have seen them all.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them you've anyway.
Let's keep it going, yeah. Now, that's mine. That's
still
the
my
one.
Beating heart.
Yeah.
How can listeners see these?
Search do you know,
for them on Twitter.
Yeah, I got these off Google, but I also saw them on Twitter. I saw them on DLP Report. I saw them on ED92, but I've seen them other people share them as well. Just 30th posters. Mm. I would redecorate a room around that. I would get a massive print of that.
Do you know what my problem is, right?
Mm.
They've put just enough elements of like foreground with some bushes and background with some clouds that it turns the whole image into a physical space. So if that's true, then the actual the icon of the attraction is kind of just plonked in a bit of an empty space with a bush in the foreground.
Is this designer talk now?
It looks
now?
A bit desolate.
Okay.
Whereas if there was either
You're
more,
desolate
if,
inside.
If there was yes. more, if there was more or less of these environmental items, then it would be more cohesive to me. Mm-hmm. But it's in between and it's not working for me. I do like the colours.
Next one.
Now, I
enjoyed that because Hugh has been asked in the past to go and speak at his old art college as an industry professional and critique foundation art degree work, haven't you? And I just imagined that.
Talk them through the portfolio and decide what's the best.
I felt like that's what you were doing then. You were talking to someone.
I find that very easy to do, actually, is to critique something. Now, this is a bit better because this is less of like an actual realization of the castle. It's coming out of the 30th logo, so it's more graphic.
Okay, I see where you're coming from now. I understand a bit better. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
If this was this logo, though, with these colours, if they turned this into an item of girls' clothing, you know, in the fashion shop in the village, they have not just T-shirts, they have gorgeous blouses and skirts and chiffon dresses. If this was the basis for an item of clothing, I would pay up to £100 for it, depending what it was.
As long as it had the loading bar underneath it.
Oh, update on the loading merchandise we talked about last week. I did see, again, it was DLP report that said the updated merchandise is arriving in shops on the 6th of March, so this is a limited release. So I got that confirmed. You know, we were discussing last week whether they were going to go with this, and we're like, why? This is actual pre-merchandise. That makes it a little more niche. Does that make you want it more? I think that makes me want it more. Mm. Certainly a pin. I would get a pin with that on just to mark the time frame. Yeah. But yeah, it'll be switching to others on the 6th of March. However, this logo, that's my jam, man.
There's one more, isn't there?
I do hope listeners are looking at these pictures at the same time. Now, I do like this one, which is the Phantom Manor one.
But it's suffering from the same problem
it
that
is,
you
like, again, if it was... It's also, they've put this big... like an ellipse on the bottom of each one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know if that's supposed to be a shadow or just a graphical representation of some land. It's all...
You can imagine it being animated and it popping up from underneath, popping out of it.
But the actual attraction illustrations themselves are very nice. It's just the execution of how it's been incorporated into that artwork.
Must try harder, Disney.
Well, perhaps play with this idea, Hugh. If this is, I mean, these are only posters on construction walls, let's be honest. But it's the first kind of glimpse we've got, other than those loading T-shirts, of what the whole aesthetic of the 30th might be, what the decorations might be.
A bit harsh, because we're kind of looking at them like the sort of fancy for sale posters. But at the moment, they're just construction artworks, aren't they?
Yeah. So if this kind of... If that image of the Phantom Manor was used with that colour scheme for other items, merchandise, commemorative cups, things like that, are you on board with that element?
Yeah.
Good.
With the correct application, I think this is a nice start.
All the Imagineers need to know the pitch needs to pass the Rain household first. What are the listeners thinking? We've got some people in live chat.
People are loving them.
Nat Cat says, I love the castle. 30th one the most. Agree. I would buy it on a mug or a T-shirt.
Bob agrees.
Or a chiffon dress.
Bob agrees with me about the Small World one.
Okay.
Hillary's liking it because Phantom Manor is an absolute favourite DLP ride.
I think my eyes just went, Small World, Mary Blair. I didn't kind of look at the composition of the whole
image. We're thinking
of doing
like a Mary Blair...
wall
pattern, like we've got this big wall up the staircase, there's just a big blank wall, and if we did like geometric design on there in different colours, Mary Blair style, it could be cool.
See, I have a blank wall as well going up to the kids room, and I want to do a tangled boat with all the lanterns going
over the castle.
But I kind of need to learn how to be an artist first.
Well, that's so.
It's a work in progress. That
when
won't
Hugh
ever
says
see
we
completion.
He means he.
Yes.
I mean, the concept kind of passes both of us, but at the end of the day, I'm like, sounds great, Hugh. Off you go. You know, I'm not going to be up there with a paintbrush.
Can I just point out an observation really quickly? You might have noticed, particularly in this view now where we're not in our cabs, that that Lucy's got a microphone right in front of her face.
Sorry.
And the reason she's got a microphone right in front of her face is because we're trialling a new mic stand to try and give us a bit more space on the table. But it means that Hugh and I still have them low down here. But Lucy's got hers in the optimal position. So next week, hopefully, we'll all have new mic stands. Hey,
and these are
thank
paid
you, patrons.
For by patrons.
Thank
Patreons.
You, Patreon pals. I just wanted to point out that this was happening because I think it's a bit of getting used to because we will have microphones eventually in front of our faces and we kind of have to work out how to speak around them whilst also getting the voice in the right place than that.
Mike Standowski.
Hillary's talking my language. She's saying a dress with those patterns would be amazing, or a fun 50s style skirt. Ooh. 50s style skirts are one of my favourite clothing items. In fact, I'm kind of wearing one now with Kat's faces on it, which you can't see.
Your friend Kat?
No, not my friend Kat, although it might have a fingerprints on it. We were dancing today. Right, shall we move on?
Let's.
We enjoyed those. Those were good. Right. Disneyland Paris celebrated. I'm going to move my tongue to the right a little, so I don't mind it again. Polka dot day. What is polka dot day?
I'm guessing it's a day dedicated to polka dots.
Apparently. I thought, is this an official thing? I couldn't find it really as anywhere else. I think it might be a Disney invention. I'm not sure. And it was yesterday, Saturday, and they celebrated it by doing a special meet and greet with Minnie. Now, obviously, polka dot outfit. Well, she wore her red polka dot dress. I saw an image of her with a leather jacket over, but essentially she was wearing her normal thing. But they did do special backdrops and some like patchy polka dot things. But then they projected red with white polka dots all over the Tower of Terror, which was kind of cool and different. I do like it when they project on the Tower of Terror. But I really don't have much else to say about it, boys. I mean, it was polka dot day.
Projectile vomiting that ride induces, guys. Am I right?
Seamless.
It would be better said inducers instead of inducers.
End users.
Mark Riley says, paint the microphones green, they'll disappear.
But then our faces will disappear as well.
Bob thinks it was just for Minnie as her trademark. Yeah, that was my suspicion.
But then
Bob,
why wasn't it Minnie Day?
Well, exactly. I think they kind of wanted to have a celebrate Minnie Mouse Day, but they made it polka dot day.
It wasn't a birthday, so they couldn't do it.
If it was, the polka dots are important, you'd think that they'd have a lot of other characters wearing polka dots.
Maybe it was
101
Dalmatian Day, and that's why they left it.
A mini celebration.
Do you think they individually animated every polka dot like the Dalmatian dots in the film 101 Dalmatians?
That would be impressive.
It'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Our spare Claire has arrived, Hugh.
Oh, we got two Claires.
Yes. Sorry, I did that thing where I just randomly refer to the chat without explaining to the listeners.
We've got multiple Claires in the chat.
Yeah, we'd like to have two Claires.
We've got a couple of Marks and a couple of Claires, but only one. Bob Sangwell.
Right.
Chris, stop milking it. Do you want me to dilute that for you?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's not that bad. I would call that weak. Personally.
Right, this is bona fide news for this week now, is that multi-day tickets are available. I'm quoting this from several news sites. I'd say I saw it on at least three, but it was shared throughout from Disneyland Paris. Multi-day tickets are available for the first time since reopening. Now, I'll be honest, being annual pass holders, we haven't had to buy a multi-day ticket, so we don't have experience in that road. But also, we went with some non-annual pass holders in August, and I was really sure they bought a four-day ticket. I really was. I might be wrong about this. When I was reading about it this afternoon, it said that previously people going for more than one day and not buying a package direct from Disney had to do multiples of single-day tickets. It might be what they did, but I don't think it was because I helped them buy it. But I don't know.
Maybe you found a loophole.
Yeah, maybe somebody else has been in meantime and says, no, we had to buy single day tickets. But it's good news, particularly if you're not buying Disney packages, if you're staying off site, or the reason they/we had to is we were staying at Village Nature, but we booked it through Centre Parks, not through Disney, because they had a good deal on. So, yeah.
When I was reading, they were saying, I can't remember which outlet I was reading from, the kind of, the way they were talking about this was, you know, in light of the fact that they're starting to increase capacity and things. So I guess that must be what's in the back of their minds is, you know, we're increasing capacity so we can afford to have more people there, which means we can afford to sell tickets over a large amount of time. But that's potentially a good thing for you and your pass holders, isn't it? And the fact that at the moment you can only book 3 days. In a row in any given time. So maybe we're going to go back to that kind of normality in the not too distant future as well.
I think they should at least increase it to five. That's my thought.
That's a week
days.
It.
Yeah.
It's the least they could do.
Because they're cutting out what is a really key market, annual pass holders, from having prolonged holidays. It's okay for locals, French people or Belgian people that can just come for a weekend, but people will stop buying annual passes. Maybe that's what they want, because they're not as profitable as
Claire
you think.
But they did bring them back. They had an opportunity to get rid of them completely, didn't they?
Or raise the prices.
Yeah. Claire thinks she got multi-day tickets as well in December.
There you go.
Yeah. I think that our friends did as well. So
Bizarre.
But Claire, did you get a package through Disney? Were you staying on site at Disney? Because I believe that they've always been sold as, you know, hotel plus 5-day tickets.
Yeah.
So I think that that's, I think it's when you're buying them separately and you're staying off site. I think. Okay.
Ooh.
Hmm. We'll see.
Me Curry's prize match claims just come through. Be excited to read that after the show.
Exciting.
Because they can match any price, so I sent them the Argos link.
Right.
I'm excited.
This is semi-important for people visiting, but I think purely by, what am I trying to say, process of elimination, it might not count to many people. The French government has announced changes, and Disneyland Paris now require you to have a vaccine passport with 3 vaccines. It used to be 2, now it's 3.
Quah.
That's not the change. Quah. The change is it used to be vaccine passport or recent test.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not allowing recent test. However, I don't think you could travel to France without a vaccine passport. So I don't think that this will count for British visitors. Like I say, through process of elimination, I don't think any British visitor over there would be over there if they didn't already have 3 vaccines.
It's a black and white situation, guys.
Yeah. However, if you're listening from France, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, you know, somewhere that's got different travel restrictions to what we've got, you're no longer able to use it as a loophole. To have a recent test or an antibody test or any of those kind of things, you have to have the vaccine passport now to go to Disneyland Paris. I believe from 12 years to 16 years, it can still be either or, because not all countries.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
I think that's all. But 16 and above, it has to be a vaccine passport. Important.
Absolutely.
Yet boring things. Yay. Mm-hmm. Affects us, USA. Yes, it will do. Did you know you could travel to France before we could, which is ridiculous, because it's almost just an extension of our country now that we can
How
drive
dare
there.
They?
I know. It's like I could drive there before dinner and you won't let me go, but you'll let them do a 9-hour flight from America. It's not fair. Anyway. That was me.
Wow.
I must
be grumpy.
Oh, I was really venting. If you remember that point in history, I believe it was kind of pre-summer last year, I was really spitting bullets
about
that,
times.
Wasn't I?
Do you know, I was talking to someone at work the other day about this show and just saying, I do a show on YouTube, and they're like, well, how did you get doing that? And so I went through the whole story. You've all heard it before, and if you haven't, go back and listen to old episodes and you'll know. But, sorry, that was kind of
it involves
cutting off a load of population.
An emotional text from the queue of Small World, I believe.
Yes,
but continue,
basically,
yes.
Yeah. But I was basically, I've lost my train of thought now. I was basically saying that we decided with this show to go every week at the beginning of the year in 2020, and come March, we then spent 18 months doing a show about a place that none of us could go to and that spent most of its time shut.
Yeah, and every week I had to pull like 5 news items out of my nose.
And you lot have stayed with us. You've stayed with us this whole time.
There were people who listened every single week, and it was closed for 8 months, and then it was open for 3, and then it was closed for 8 months. And I'm like,
we've managed to go twice.
Thank
though.
You.
We managed to go twice. And we went January of 2020, so.
And
just before.
So did we.
If you actually... Yeah, we went twice in 2020 and once in 2021.
How is that possible?
And when you look at the months it was open and the rates of cancellation and the travel restrictions, it's a blooming miracle.
It's dedication, that is.
We managed to get there 3 times in the last 2 years. Oh.
Oh, there's some interesting information here, because Hillary was saying from the US, you've got to get your vaccine card translated at a pharmacy once you get there. But Mark's saying that...
Oh, because I think Hillary was asking about that last week, wasn't she? Somebody
right.
was asking about it.
But Mark's saying, download the 2 anti-COVID app, TOUS anti-COVID app.
Is that all?
Yeah, all anti-COVID app. And then you can scan your British vaccine cards, QR app, and use that.
But she's US, I believe. Yeah.
But maybe that'll work for you as well. I don't know. Interesting. We don't know. We don't know.
No, we don't know. It's not my jam. I started a Disney podcast to talk about how cute Minnie's new dress was and how much I love going on Small World, not to dissect, you know, disease control over various continents. It's quite stressful.
I started it because I like the sound of my own voice and also because I like to scrutinise things and be miserable about them. So it kind of fitted with what we wanted to do with the Classics podcast.
I'm here for the exact opposite reasons to that, Chris.
I joined in because having two jobs and multiple hobbies and a podcast of my own at the time, which I don't no longer do, wasn't enough.
Yeah,
I bullied them into it is the actual truth.
Right, let's talk about this then. So Disneyland Paris social media team let out some little teaser TikToks and Instagram posts and stuff saying a vision of the Tower of Terror, an image of the Tower of Terror. And then if you flip to the image, another little card saying exciting announcement coming on, is it the 24th tomorrow?
Yeah.
Monday the 24th. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to cut everyone's... So this is to do with the Tower of Terror. We know that. We know nothing else. I'm going to cut everyone's speculation right down to the bud in that I believe it has been confirmed that this is definitely not Mission Breakout Guardians of the Galaxy as it is in California.
Good.
Now, I tried to do my own research and I couldn't find anything coming from Disneyland Paris saying that. But as I was reading some very knowledgeable social media accounts and everybody repeating these rumours, people just kept saying, well, we know it's not Mission Breakout. Well, it's confirmed it's not Mission Breakout. So I think...
It's a phone. Someone kept saying repeatedly, replying to everybody they possibly could, it's a phone cover. It's a phone cover.
Well,
it's a phone cover.
This is the other thing.
It's a phone cover.
This is the other thing. Disneyland Paris have done this before where they've created an amazing amount of hype.
And it's a phone cover.
We're releasing new snacks. And then everyone goes...
Shortbread with Nutella.
I don't know if this is it, because they've never done it exactly this way. Ooh. They've given...
Actually, a shortbread shape of the Tower of Terror would...
It would work.
Be nice,
would it satisfy you?
Be a nice big biscuit, that, wouldn't it? All the little windows cut out.
Unless it was a mini shortbread.
And the chocolate poking through, the Nutella poking through each window. Oh, I can imagine it. I wouldn't mind that.
Good.
Got it. We're that used to it now that I would be happy with a shortbread biscuit.
Yeah.
Oh, shortbread of terror.
So,
we're going to find out tomorrow. It's actually exciting.
It could be that. It could be new merchandise. People are saying it might be just a figurine. I get that.
I don't think they would say, we've got an exciting announcement tomorrow, and then say, it's been rethemed. They'd be more sensitive, I think.
Fireworks was the other thing that I saw coming up a lot.
Right.
Fireworks. It's fireworks.
And there's also the possibility, I mean, we're going straight into the Delvey now, but that it might be an event. They have had annual pass events. They've had one for the Tower of Terror before, but also they could be doing just not annual pass, just general after hours events themed around it, or midnight rides on it, that kind of thing.
It's a mobile phone cover.
I think mobile phone cover.
This is how irritating it was looking through Twitter earlier on about this. Every time I got anywhere, it's a mobile phone cover. Same person.
That's what I do on some Facebook accounts on an obvious scam. I respond to everyone. And they go, oh, I hope this is me. And I'll put like, you'll be lucky because it's fake. And then someone else goes, what a great competition. And I put like, yeah, if it was real. And I do the whole thing until I get banned by the scammers.
He's a ray of sunshine. He really is.
I'm making the world a better place by making people wise
saving
to
everyone.
Scams.
Yeah.
Look, we got some early speculation in the chat about
go
this.
Go for it.
Well, Kiva's saying the biscuit should come with a side of laughing cow cheese. But
oh, yeah. Yes, Kiva.
To dunk your Nutella biscuit.
Hillary's saying, who, by the way, says they don't have QR codes on the passes, but yeah, they'll figure it out. It'll be a Tower of Terror popcorn bucket.
Yes.
That'll be as popular as the Figment bucket.
We also happened there, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, they don't...
People are mental.
They don't really have popcorn buckets yet, do we? Do we?
Oh, well, no, we do. I've got one. I've shown you it. I brought it on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a beauty.
Oh.
I'll show you ours.
I've got the poison apple, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You do.
And it glows in the dark.
Ours is
we've got one of those as well. That's our sugar bowl. That's what we put sugar in. Sorry, he's just
there. Ours is
this
a bit,
is what
sorry.
We put.
It's not quite the same, but
it's what we put actual popcorn in on film night with, for Bonnie.
Yeah.
I'll do microwave popcorn. So it's this, listeners, is just the standard popcorn sweet tub that you get the popcorn in.
Yeah, with the Fab Five in Disneyland Paris.
Is that from the shop?
The edge. Yeah, it's from the shop, not a stand.
It's,
so
it's, not, it's not a popcorn bucket.
But we keep Demerara sugar in ours, but it's a slightly different design.
Ah.
Exciting.
There you go.
what else have we got? Josh suspects it'll be a new projection mapping or fireworks show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the most likely. And I will say that I don't know. I think I might prefer fireworks and projection mapping in the studios to the castle. Ooh, is that controversial?
Cool.
I'm just going on the Star Wars one we watched, which was like a laser show. Yeah. It was brilliant.
I like it when
the polka dots looked hot.
Oh, the goofy Christmas one it turned into a Christmas
presents.
A stack of presents.
Ooh, yeah.
And then the presents fell down.
I like stuff like that.
Really, really good. And I just prefer, it's a nicer open space. It's never as busy. There's not trees in the way. It's a really good place for a nighttime show.
Claire and Nat want it to stay as it is though, so no retheming. It's Mark's favourite ride. Mark Chester's favourite. Oh, sorry. It's in his top three favourite rides.
The thing is, one of the reasons the California one had to go the way of the dodo is because Twilight Zone is not and was never a Disney franchise, they have to pay rights on it, and the rights in California expired. I don't know when they will expire in Paris, presumably because it was built later, the years will stagger a bit, but they won't want to keep paying rights to something
on borrowed time. It's such a shame because I love Twilight Zone and I love the ride as it is, but it's on borrowed time.
Well,
Mark's actually saying the video shows brickwork tumbling to the ground. This is Mark with a Q, so they're obviously wrecking balling it.
You said to me to think about what we thought it could be, and so I had a bit of a think about it, and you know the Mission Breakout thing is an obvious choice, isn't it? But Guardians of the Galaxy is actually in Marvel terms a bit dated now. And what I thought
it's gonna
was
be another film though.
I know I realise that, but what's hot at the moment is the Multiverse of Madness and Spider-Man. What if it was the Daily Planet?
Bugle.
Ooh.
Bugle Planet. Sorry, I went all Superman.
Where's my bell?
I know. He's lost his bell. I'm saved from the bell. Yeah, what if it was a Daily Bugle?
That would be good.
Yeah. Because it size-wise and look and feel, you'd be able to... It's too late now. The moment's passed.
The thing
Nobody
is...
Nobody cares about your bell.
I know it's multiverse, so it can be any version of Spider-Man you like, but in our current familiar Tom Holland one, it's a YouTube channel is the Daily Bugle, isn't it? It's not a...
Well,
but they've got those big LED screens on that he sees himself on at the end of...
Yeah, and you could get the multiverse in there because you still... The whole idea of the Twilight of Terror in there and that he's taken into the dimensions, that would fit really well within the multiverse, would fit really well in that theme, I think.
I like that.
Yeah.
I had a rubbish idea, which was to turn it into a Thor ride because you could kind of extend it at the top and make it hammer... shit, and have it be a Bifrost lift ride.
You're just desperate for that Bifrost, aren't you?
Well, I think, just a really fast lift with some lights all around you, and it's just it's just, you're in the Bifrost. That is a rubbish idea, but it is an idea.
Mark Riley said a giant Lego Daily Bugle. It was the Lego Daily Bugle I was thinking of when this idea popped into my head.
They wanted a typo in one of the Spider-Man comics, and it got printed as the Daily Bulge.
Yes.
We were around our friend's house when I read this out today. As, oh, this is what we're discussing tonight. And her first reaction was, oh, it could be Avengers Tower.
Good.
Now,
although
that makes sense where it will be in the land. It's not exactly the right shape. And because of the accuracy, I think they would make it the right shape to be Avengers Tower. It's very specific. But also, they're not going to get rid of that ride system. Anyone who loves Tower of Terror because of the ride... The ride system will stay no matter what they do. They will just re-theme the ride
itself. I figured
itself.
It out. They're going to put the Quinjet on top of it. That's
no.
It. That's it.
We've seen the platform.
I think the Guardians of the Galaxy overlay looks awful. It just it looks like exactly what it is, which is the
apparently,
old ride with some bits stuck on it.
Apparently the ride is brilliant, though.
Yeah, it might well be, but as like a... a weenie, it doesn't look so hot, does it?
No.
Just, you know.
I do like the Tower of Terror. I don't know if I've ever told this on this show before. I have read the Tower ridden. I've ridden the Tower of Terror.
We rode it.
Travelled on.
Exactly once in my life. And the reason is I'm scared of heights. I get vertigo. It's a bit different from being scared of heights. If you get actual vertigo, you know what I mean. And it's got the word terror in the title. I'm not big on horror movies. I'm not big on thrill rides. I can stomach them, but I'm not bothered. And I just thought, the same way I've decided Crusher's Coaster is not for me, I won't like this. And Hugh spent a long time going, you will, just go on it. Go on, do you want to go on it? We can baby swap, you go on it. And then eventually when we were in Florida in 2018, I went, oh, go on. 2019. I said, go on then, I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on Tower of Terror. And I queued up and I kid you not, as I stood in the queue and got to the front of the queue, in my head I was thinking, can they let me out of this queue? Do they have a quick exit? I dare go on this. I'm going to cry.
But
I'm going to cry.
British awkwardness made her stay in the queue.
That's I was thinking, what would Hugh say if I didn't go on this? I'm going to cry. I don't want to go on. It's going to be so scary. And I think I was so terrified going on that I found it so much fun and so gentle because it's not, I mean, it probably is a scary ride, but it was nowhere near what I had built it up in my head. That I'm actually really desperate to go on now. Now, when we went to Paris, the two times we've been after that, I think it was shut when we went in the January. And then they brought in this paid fast pass the most recent time.
And we were going to pay for it just because we disagree with having to pay for rides, but we thought we'd at least test it for the show. And it didn't work. We couldn't even book it.
It was sold out, basically. So I've only ever been on Tower of Terror once, but I did enjoy it.
Guys, it's kicking off in the chat.
Oh, my goodness.
What? Cheryl's saying she loved the Christmas show on the Tower a few years ago. I think that's the one we saw.
Yes.
We loved that. Mark Riley's saying he thinks they're going to have to knock it down so it doesn't ruin the view from Frozenland.
Interesting.
Although I don't think they'd be like, hey, guys, exciting news regarding this.
No.
We're going to destroy it.
What if they're moving it? What if they're moving it somewhere else? They're going to move it six inches to the right.
Like London Bridge, a brick at a time.
Yeah. Natasha's here. That's my singing teacher, Natasha.
Hello.
I was dobbering. Sorry, Natasha. she says... Ash says that if they get rid of, this is her husband, if they get rid of the Tower of Terror theme, he won't go back to Disneyland. She says, I'm shook. Sam for God's here.
That's a good reason not to get rid of the Tower of Terror theme.
Sam for God's here, catching it live for the first time. Hello, she says.
Hi, Sam.
We normally name check everyone, but I know I've missed a bunch of you at the start. We're
getting busier.
We're grateful you're all here. I can't name check. I don't think today I can name check everybody. Well, I could do.
Sam for God has an excellent Disneyland Paris YouTube channel, amongst
YouTube
other things.
Royalty, I would say.
I think she is. So if you're wanting kind of up-to-date in-park videos, check out Sam for God.
Absolutely.
We have in-park videos, but they're not up-to-date.
Maybe later in the year, though, eh?
There might be. Yeah, there might be soon if we get
can
to
you imagine?
Go
Anyway, right. There's some other stuff going on in the chat, but, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna switch over.
Thanks for that, Hugh.
I'm going to switch over. That's like going, you know, it's really not worth talking
about.
Well,
I was trying to think of a nice way to say, well, I can't read it all out.
Yeah,
just
no, that's
fair. Read it yourselves. There's not a nice way to say it.
Since the inception of Disneyland, Tomorrowland has been problematic, and the future won't last forever.
Are you going to ding a bell? Thank you.
Oh. Discoveryland.
Come on now.
No.
Oh.
Since the inception of Disneyland.
Oh, okay, I take it back.
Tomorrowland has been problematic.
Yes, okay, I agree.
The future won't last forever, literally, and they keep catching themselves up and getting out of date.
The future won't last forever.
And so it really... I know. Is that gone... have I twisted your melon?
Does the future last if it isn't here yet?
It's here tomorrow and gone today.
Interesting. It's like a grey circle. When they built Disneyland Paris, they made the bold decision not to go with the traditional Tomorrowland model that they had done in the US parks and instead to make it Discoveryland to give them a little more wiggle room. And instead of going forward, they decided to go backwards with Jules Verne inspired architecture and attractions.
These
okay?
are my boys.
Yeah.
Jules.
and burn.
And this was also a big appreciative nod to a rather reluctant French public that if they used a French author, it might be a little more palatable to them. So that's why you get the big steampunk style of the Café Hyperion, and that's why you get Space Mountain looking the way it does, although Space Mountain was a later thing. However, like Tomorrowland, this has got a little diluted over the years. We've got Autopia, which has got a 50s vibe going on, well, kind of mid-century modern kind of thing. You've then got Buzz Lightyear IP whacked in there. You've got Star Wars round the back. We talked last week about the fact that Mickey's PhilharMagic, which I love and adore, doesn't even try. It doesn't even say it's space themed or anything. It's like it's in Fantasyland in Florida, you know, and that's around the back of Space Mountain and it doesn't fit. So we thought it might be a fun activity to say, if you were a head Imagineer and you had unlimited budget and Bob Chapek say so, I mean, those two things are not mutually exclusive, as we know. But if
you
did,
him like I know him.
How would you revive and refresh Discoveryland in Disneyland Paris? So you can start getting your thoughts in the chats if you want to do that. And I'm going to first turn to Chris. Because you were a little
reticent with
your
ideas. This.
Yeah.
My idea is not, it's not really there, but
So I just thought, Discoveryland. Discovery. So we need to think about discovery.
Disco.
No, that didn't go that far. Right. But there's some fundamental things that need to change. Firstly, we need to get rid of all those petrol engines in Autopia. They need to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Then we need to get rid of Buzz Lightyear because we've got Worlds of Pixar's over in the other place, you know, in IPville.
I wouldn't get rid of it, though. Would you move it?
No, we'd move it.
I wouldn't want to get rid of it.
And then assuming that at some point there will be a Star Wars type thing over there as well, that is where Star Tours would go. So what I thought was, what other things fit into this kind of discovery theme? And I came up with a few ideas. So the first one is Autopia. You change that to be spaceships and you make the whole thing Meet the Robinsons themed, and you're going the future of Meet the Robinsons, and you're driving around in those 1950s styles Jetsons.
Yes. Which is mid-century modern, isn't it, really, in its design?
With the top hats all over the place, big dinosaur there as stuff as well. I think it'd be awesome. I think that would make that ride brilliant. But it'd have to be all electric, none of these gas guzzlers anymore because it isn't necessary and it's stupid, so they shouldn't be doing that. So that's that one. That's the first thing I thought of. Then I thought, what about Space Mountain? Well, you go back to its original form. I think that's it. You get rid of Hyperspace Mountain. I know people love it. I get that. I know.
Yeah.
But people also pine for the original. So we go OG because you get that cannon.
You do miss the Happy Moon.
Get all that going again. Perfect. So that's what we do with that. Orbitron, you don't touch it. It's a weenie.
Yeah.
It's a nice little thing. Doesn't need to be made any
different. Don't touch the weenie.
Stays as
it is. Fits with the aesthetic.
So what do we do? What do we do with Buzz Lightyear and that building? Well, what we do is, have you heard of a little film called Treasure Planet?
Oh, Chris.
Right, so you still have the shoot 'em up style thing, but instead of it being...
You've lost me.
Instead of it being the...
I'm going to ding you. Wrong.
No, I'm not. It's hoverboards. Okay. You're one of those hoverboard things that is in at the beginning of the film, and you're flying around and shooting, so you build a story about that. Because Treasure Planet fits very much with the theme and the look and discovery and everything, so it's there. And then you could leave the 20,000 leagues, the boat, what's it called? What's the boat called? The walkthrough.
Nautilus.
My brain's gone.
Aquatica?
You could leave Nautilus.
Submarium?
Or you could update it and make it Atlantis and do something in there with Atlantis. That could be quite fun. And then finally, because I'm not going to touch eateries, finally, in the theatre, they need to make a new show that's more about discovery and
they
journey.
They need to get like rid
something
of
where
the rocks.
Where someone goes on a journey and goes and does something and it takes you through lots of different films and stuff. Update it. So there you go. There's my ideas. I'm there.
Wow.
Apparently I lost Claire at Meet the Robinsons.
I am. Yeah. I know what you're trying to do.
I've just lost us a load of listeners. I'm so sorry.
I appreciate all your thoughts.
I've just lost 8 subscribers.
The thing is that you've chosen 3 of the least popular movies from the last 50 years.
Yes, but think of the discovery that people will be going through by being there.
You might as well have made it the Wild themed.
Well,
Well, I didn't make it The Wild Thing, because The Wild's terrible, and all three of those films scored reasonably okay.
No, they are. They're not bad films. They're just not popular films.
They're not good films.
I will just tell you a brief story about Meet the Robinsons, and this kind of goes in with our You Must Be Grumpy this week, is that when I did the Run Disney event, it was villains themed, and Kronk and Yzma were meeting on the tram tour route, and the queue was really long, but I thought that's going to be a good photo. So I joined it, and then just as we got close to the front, it switched out for Bowler Hat Man.
I'm sorry.
And the thing is, everyone was saying, when are Kronk and Yzma coming back? And the park cast member at the front was saying, they'll switch back again in 20 minutes or so. You can just wait here if you want. And so a secondary queue was forming who didn't want to meet Bowler Hat Man but wanted to queue an extra 20 minutes for Yzma. And it was like person after person was declining, actually physically declining to meet Bowler Hat Man.
For that Bowler Hat Man, are they really going to be like going, aww? Well, maybe they are. But like, it's not...
I mean,
it's not personal
they know
to
they're
them,
a rubbish
is it?
Character.
It's, just, it's the character.
And they don't play him day after day. I think he's only dragged out for Run Disney events. He's not. That's not their only job. Anyway, so that's how popular Meet the Robinsons is in Disneyland Paris. People were leaving the queue.
People would love the rides. This is the point. It's not about the IP. It's about the rides. And the rides that I have in my head would be brilliant.
Yeah,
they would love the rides, okay? They would just love it. You would love it.
Poison for Cusco.
Come on.
Cusco's poison.
Have you got ideas, Huey?
I don't have any ideas to change the any of the rides, but I had an idea to refresh the land, which was to introduce loads of foliage as if you were stumbling across this land even further into the future. So after like the apocalypse and the Earth's reclaiming it.
Oh, so this tree's growing out of everything.
Yeah, so everything's got more of a an organic feel to it. There's vines growing up everything. There's real trees everywhere.
Like if you go to where Blobby Land is now.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
That's a theme park in the UK.
So, that's my idea. And, you know, I actually have, like, things growing out. Like, we could plant trees and just, like, pull up some of the flooring and have it all cracked. And just have that kind of vibe to make it more... Because at the moment, it's very hard in there. Mm. And I just imagine it would be nice to make it a bit foresty and parky.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, that's kind of an idea there.
Mm.
But I haven't changed any of the rides, I'm afraid. Because it's, like... It's all disjointed and I can't think of anything that really links it all together.
I think
get rid of the petrol and the cars, come on.
Yeah,
when we everybody say, wants to get rid of that petrol.
Yeah. When we say revive, nice. Revive and refresh.
Oh, Empo Ever After has just said Muppets from Space Ride.
Oh.
Just do the whole land could be Muppets. Because you could keep the theme. I mean, you could have, you know, it was...
Like a takeover.
It was Dickens. Gonzo could be Jules Verne.
Like,
hi, I'm Jules Verne. And that was terrible. And yeah, that's an interesting angle there.
I don't want them to get rid of
a Muppet takeover.
The Jules Verne theme.
I like that.
I think it's quite unique.
I think it suits the Muppets. Think,
what about if... I'm sorry, but my ideas are going to... What about if Autopia couldn't drive it, but you just had a mad Muppet sat there with a steering wheel when you got in and drove you like a crazy man around the car?
I wouldn't get rid of the Jules Verne theme. I think it's quite unique to Paris compared to other ones around the world. I also think it is respectful of the culture and I quite like it. I would go with similar to what Josh has just said in the chat, that it would just be a general technology theme. I think what it lacks at the moment is cohesion. And so I think Buzz has to go, and it can go to Pixar Land because I love that ride and I don't want it to disappear, but it doesn't fit where it is.
They could keep it, but if it was Muppets, have it be Pigs in Space. Okay. What's your idea? Sorry.
But I kind of want them to bend even further into the Jules Verne theme, and this is a bit square, but I'd like them to go like a Leonardo da Vinci thing and a Tesla thing and Elon Musk-y, and just be like technology. Technology would be a big thing. And like you said about the petrol guzzling, they could go the electric car route there and...
Make it kind of Epcot-y.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's sort of appeal where it's like, you know, this is the land of tomorrow type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I like the vintage nature of it.
But no,
and
they
can't try get ahead of themselves,
I agree.
I
do like the Jules Verne stuff as it is. So that's why a Muppet thing. You could keep it and just tag some Muppets onto it. I'd be well happy with that.
That does seem good.
They could just do it for a year, couldn't they? Muppets Takeover.
Yeah.
Muppets take over Discovery Land. Done.
The Muppets take Discovery Land instead of Manhattan.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. I like it.
And Autopia could
Fraggle
be...
Fraggle Rock and Roller Coaster.
Autopia could just be Muppet Babies Cars. I don't know what that means, but it's just some words.
That's enough of a thing for me. Works.
Let Disney work that out.
You could just crawl around.
Because I don't think anyone wants to get rid of Autopia as an attraction, do you? I mean, we all like that. I mean, it's got a big footprint.
It's a huge footprint that could be used for many other things.
Well, that is true. How much do I like Autopia?
Do you like the wind in your hair as you queue to get off the ride at the end of it for 20 minutes?
I like it because I don't drive, so to me it's actually quite thrilling to feel about 20% in charge of a vehicle. Maybe more than that, but you know,
I just find it a really uncomfortable ride, especially when Lucas is driving. You've been thrown side to side constantly, and then when the automatic brakes kick in because you're getting close to a car in front, it properly thumps you forward. Yeah, you wouldn't want to get rid of it, though, would you?
I don't know.
You wouldn't want to get rid of it.
I do like it, but what I actually like about it is the mid-century-ness of it, and that's what doesn't fit. I think we're all agreed that Buzz Lightyear needs to migrate, and so does Star Tours, possibly. Star Tours fits in better, I think.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Well...
You have my pity.
I don't know if anyone was listening to us or if Disney would uptake any of those ideas. Yours was particularly
Bob Chapek's listening. Chapek.
We said earlier there's only one Bob. And that's Bob Sangwell in the chat.
So that, do you know what, guys? Do you know what? We usually go for a good hour on this, and that's come to the end of what we had planned to talk about today. So we're going to open it up to the chat. Have you got any questions for us? Anything you would like to ask? Keep biting that tongue.
In the meantime, I've got a You Must Be Grumpy, so shall I do
that? Let's do You Must Be Grumpy.
Oh, You Must Be Grumpy.
Themed History says, I must be grumpy because character meets irritate me. They take ages. Are there enough of them given how popular they are? Characters are swapped out usually just before you get to the one you're desperate to meet, and the lack of walkabout characters because of guest behaviour.
Yeah.
That really does fit in with what you were saying earlier.
Guest behaviour.
Thing is, when I first read the first sentence, I thought he didn't like meeting characters, but clearly this is someone who does like meeting characters and is irritated by the whole process.
I don't like going to the Princess Pavilion because we always get to the front of the queue and we go, who is it? Who is it? And they go, it's Aurora. And we go, yay, every time.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aurora.
Could be worse. It could be the hairy belly button Ariel that...
Who was it that was talking about that?
I can't remember. I really don't remember.
Was it someone called Mary?
I can't remember.
Mary's hairy story. I can't remember that. Who was it? Remind us who sent us that.
I can't remember at all.
Oh, I've got another one.
Go on.
From Mark Chester, has said on Facebook via Bob's Disney Then and Now Facebook page, I'm so grumpy about still not having a Disney vacation booked. And I said, yes, that's sick and wrong.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. So we renewed our annual passes, or more to the point, we cancelled them when the park was cancelled and then had to buy new ones, which is more expensive. And we just can't find a window to travel at the moment, and I think we would have done had they not closed the borders again, and that kind of stopped us looking. We're like, well, there's no point booking something for March if the borders are open. Who's saying when they'll open again? And now we've nothing booked, and we're going to Florida in May, and we're getting antsy, quite frankly. Very, very antsy. It's the point where we were with friends discussing going in April, weren't we? Going in the Easter holidays. Mm-hmm. That's an expensive and busy time to go.
We're going to go to Filey instead.
Yeah.
Where dreams come true.
That's not even a joke. That was the way the discussion went.
Our friends, Chris, as you know, go to Filey a lot.
They do.
They have connections there. And he genuinely said to me, oh, no, you haven't been. He went, you need to go before it gets big.
That's what he said to me 8 years ago.
And it's still not gotten big.
Hillary's excited to go to the studios and see the Marvel characters, hoping to meet Loki. Did you know what? The Marvel meet and greet in that theatre is very, very good. Long term, though, I'm hoping that they'll get a permanent slot somewhere in the Avengers campus, which they must do.
You think so? Come on. You?
And that the stunt show comes back to that theatre, because the stunt show was very enjoyable.
It would be nice to have a Loki as well. I hope you get a different one that speaks.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he speaks French. He wasn't on an English mood, was he?
He wasn't in any mood. He just stared at us.
I just loved that the Captain America that you met had the most French accent ever.
He was really good.
He looks the part, actually, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because I said, I've got a question for you. And he went, yes. I went, do you ever use your shield as a massive dinner plate? And he went, I would never do that.
I just have to respond to Mark Riley. March 25th for the annual past 30th anniversary event, perhaps. Yes, Mark, I have got a hotel booked for that. And that was the plan. However, they sold out of the annual pass party tickets before I could get it. And that was the only real reason we'd picked those dates. And now I'm looking, thinking, can I take my daughter out of school for a day when I haven't even got... Can I get cover for work when we haven't even got tickets to the party? And it looks like that's going to get cancelled. Do.
That drink is really foul, Hugh. Oh, so dear. Strong. I've pulled a space every sip I've had of it.
I know.
But I'm thirsty. I'm even more thirsty now. We've had a question from Mike Suffield. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any tips for driving to DLP? We're driving by Eurotunnel. Mm-hmm. Have any of you guys done this before?
Yeah, I said on our travel show, to sum it up, it's like, because I've heard other people say, oh, it's dead easy. You're like, you get off the ferry or whatever, and you're going in a straight line. Now, it's not quite that simple. You can get caught out. What I would do is I would look at the map. There's like a couple of, like, you go on one road for like, I don't know, 50 minutes or something. Then you go on another one for like 3 hours. And that's basically it. But the last few little junctions, I'd just look them up on Street View just so you have an idea, because you need to be in the right lane at the last minute. I don't know, worry you. And it's not difficult.
No, there's a lot of lanes. But like, an awful lot of lanes.
I'd noticed like one time we went recently where I was like, we had to get over a lane. And then immediately as we came off the junction, we had to get back over another two lanes for some strange reason, because the sat-nav was telling me to do that. So just be prepared. I tend to always like just look up the junctions on Google Street View so that I can definitely go, all right, as soon as you see IKEA, that's what I normally look for. IKEA, right, now it's time to get off.
For a non-driver, Hugh.
Hugh's a non-driver. I drive, he's the navigator, but as a result, he actually does a bit more work than I do. Because he's like proper navigator and I'm just going,
I guarantee like no more than one wrong turn per trip. I would one wrong turn or fewer.
Go on, you do your tips.
I would just say from our point of view, we found it very easy, but both times we've been, Laura's done the last bit of the journey. But our sat nav's really good, so we don't tend to have any problems with any of that, and it gets us in the right lanes and everything.
I think the first time I use
Waze. I don't know if anyone else uses it. I use Waze, which is an app you can get on the phone. It's owned by Google, I think, and it's like a social media type sat nav platform, so you can put in up to date things yourself. If you come across an accident, you can put it in and all those kinds of things, which means that it's always very, very up to date. But you need to turn the police information off if you're in France, because if the police find that you've got the app and it's showing where the police are, they're not very happy about it, apparently.
Serious tips: if you're driving in France, you need to remember you're driving a British car, which is right-hand drive, you need to buy some deflectors for your headlights. And I would recommend parking up at the Eurotunnel and putting them on there, because even if you're going in daylight, it's just so easy to forget. And we were like, oh, we've got them in the car. There's a shop at the Eurotunnel.
Don't forget to take them off when you get back.
There's a shop at the Eurotunnel that sells mostly the two things you need, which is those stickers. And you need a GB sticker as well.
Yep.
A magnet for a sticker for your car, and there's an AA shop in there that seems to just sell those two things, and we had to buy them once.
You also need, according to French law, in your car you need to have an emergency triangle, you need to have a breathalyzer, and you need to have high-vis jackets for everybody in the car. And I believe there was something like they have to fit. So I had to buy a child's one for Bonnie. It was no good to buy three adult ones. So I don't know about that. But look that up, because I'm no expert. But that came as a surprise to me. Somebody just mentioned it. Oh, you do know you need your kit. Oh, I think you have to have a first aid kit of a certain standard in your car as well. And if you get stopped by the police, not only will they ask for your driving license and, you know, your registration and insurance, they'll ask to make sure that you've got your kit in the car, so you need to have these kits. So look it up on AA.
That's why a lot of people, you may have noticed, like in European countries, a lot of people will have a high-vis jacket attached to their passenger seat, like actually wrapped over their passenger seat, so it's visible so that the police know.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's interesting.
We go into all this detail, by the way, guys. If you want an in-depth thing, we've covered every way to travel, I think, pretty much, unless like you're cycling. Yeah. If you look up on YouTube, 37 Disney Street Travel Special.
Or on iTunes, if you're listening on iTunes, it'll be down there.
Isn't that good? We've got an episode to recommend people go back and look at.
It was only a year ago we did that.
It must have been in isolation because we're doing it on Zoom. I can see from the thumbnail.
Yeah. It's really funny you're talking about the things that you need to take with you, because this is a really good tip, is that. But at the same time, because I've always travelled abroad, it's just not something that comes into my head at all.
You see, going to Disneyland Paris is the first time I'd driven abroad, and I'd avoided doing it before then. And it's, if you haven't driven abroad, it's a lot easier than you think. It's mainly motorways and A roads. So once you're pointing your car in the right direction, people are like, oh, is it okay to drive on the wrong side of the road? Don't make a difference. You just point your car and drive. Now, a couple more things from a driver's point of view while we're on this. You know, and they have them in Britain as well, they're just not as common. The kind of junctions where you get in the lane 2 miles before you need to go off at the junction and then you just funneled off the motorway. That's nearly every junction in France. Mm. So whereas I usually just drive in the inside lane happily for my entire life, you can't really do that. Or you can, but you have to be really careful that you're not about to be sucked off the motorway. Because we did get sucked off the motorway, didn't we, twice?
You do get warning, though. Extraordinary.
You do.
Extraordinary sentence. You get enough warning. You can see it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that is going to happen. You'll be all right. I won't worry too much about that.
I'm just saying.
But just be aware.
And also, this is so small. And I know this academically, but when I first drive over there, it suddenly made me jump, is that they measure speed in kilometres, not miles. And so I got off the, not the ferry, the train, and it said speed limit 110. And I was like, what? I was like, this is going to be a fun ride.
We got there in 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And also, brilliant. It's roughly a 3-hour drive from the port. 2.5 hours of it is really empty. There's like hardly any cars, and then the last half hour is busy.
Just another thing to note, what the route that you're talking about taking is a toll route. If you don't want to pay tolls, there are other routes that you can take. Just go and plan your journey and think about it. In fact, again, most sat navs will give you a toll-free route that you can take anyway, so you can select one that doesn't involve tolls. Mm. The first time we went north. We went east out of Calais and went towards Amiens, and we stayed overnight in Amiens, and then we drove down to Paris from there. Now, it probably added about 40 minutes in total to the journey, but it was about halfway of the overall journey for us, so it was a good place to stop. Mm. We're coming from Yorkshire as well,
so
it's a long
drive.
It's a 7 to 8 hour drive in total, plus the time in the train as well. So
Americans,
you might
want
to plan in an overnight if you're doing that. Mm. My recommendation is, if you are happy soldiering through, then do it and just stay somewhere cheap and local to Disneyland, because the following day you can get straight in there and get on with it. But
we always stay in Kent. It's a 4.5 hour drive from our house to Kent, and that's enough for me. Being the only driver, I know you guys get to split it, don't you?
We do, yeah.
Being the only driver, I just prefer it.
But if you can split it, that's the other thing I would say.
We talk about Eurostar, Eurotunnel, ferry, flying, all these on 37 Disney Street. I think it's called Special Travel Show or something like that. Whatever I said earlier.
Travel
Special, I think it was, something like that.
Mm.
Anyway, Mark's asking a good question, which is, why doesn't Lucy have a tiki cup?
Why don't I have a tiki cup? No,
because
one ever
she
gets,
drinks out. She drinks out of this bottle.
No one ever gets me a tiki cup. He gets himself one. He gets Chris one.
In your bottle. Maybe I need a bottle.
I carry these to work and everywhere because they're the biggest bottles I can find, and I do try drink a lot of fluids.
I think it's because you once kind of suggested that you weren't keen on that whole section because it was just like frivolous.
Yeah, you did. You did tell us off quite a bit.
Yeah, she was like, "I don't think we need to go."
We haven't played that jingle today. Do you want to play it?
No.
We'll
have a week off. What else did we have? Claire was complaining about Thunder Mountain because she gets to the front and it's shut. What was it? I get grumpy when you get to the queue for Big Thunder Mountain after it's just reopened, and then you get to the front and it has to close again three times. This has happened to me.
Your curse. That's one of those low-level curses we were talking about earlier in the week.
I got grumpy queuing 40 minutes in Pinocchio for it to then close and for us to think it was going to be a five-minute wait and then get kicked out only for it to reopen 5 minutes later when we'd walked away from it. Infuriating.
Empo Ever After, I think it was Empo Ever After, was asking about if you've seen the Encanto Mini Years. Who was it?
I've not seen the Mini Years, but
it was Kiva. Oh no, it wasn't.
Make your mind up.
It was Claire. No, it wasn't. Oh my God,
Cheryl. It was Cheryl.
Right, it was Cheryl. Cheryl, I apologize.
I don't know. Was it Cheryl?
It was.
I haven't seen the Mini Years. However, two things. First of all, I am trying to get back to my pre-lockdown weight, so I need to lose a stone. Basically, that's how much I've put on over the last 2 years.
Me too.
And when I do, I am buying myself the Encanto Loungefly. That's a done deal. Mm. And number two, I'm currently working on a Mirabelle Disney bound. Ooh, and that is what the lounge fly will eventually be for.
She's working on a Mirabelle. Mirabelle.
If I can lose the lose the weight. But I hadn't seen the Mini Years. Sound good.
Is that it?
Yes.
Have you all seen and what are you all thinking about the Aristocats live action news?
I mean,
I don't hate it. Because I'm not that bothered about the original, so.
Have you watched Lady and the Tramp yet?
No.
Yes, we did. We did. It was all right.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
I didn't.
Memorable.
I don't think I did.
Oh, I did. You might have fallen asleep. You do fall asleep fairly regularly during films.
Sorry, what?
I'm just a bit ambivalent to it, to be honest.
What's point?
I'm not a big live action of animation fan unless they're going to bring something different to it. I think Maleficent was a stroke of genius, and if they're going to do something like that, Cruella, I have problems with the film itself, but I don't mind them making it. But stuff like the live-action Cinderella, it was like, meh.
When you're looking at a handful of CGI animals on a screen, is it live-action? That's why I would ask.
Well, that was the thing with Lion King, wasn't it?
Absolutely,
yeah, it was an animated film. It was just a different style.
It was a remake.
Yeah.
I
was just going to say, the only one I'm semi-excited for is Pinocchio for the sole reason it's got Tom Hanks attached. Mm-hmm. Who can do no wrong, as we all know.
I hope it's really dark.
Yeah.
Got one last quick question, because it's DLP related. It's from Hillary, and she's saying, got a reservation for Chez Remy. Any favourite menu / item you like there? When we went, it just seemed to be like a choice of like a couple of things, which was we had steak and ratatouille. And
you get ratatouille with everything.
I don't like the idea of ratatouille, but with some steak, I can easily put it on the same fork. Lucy didn't like the chips.
I didn't not like the chips.
She was disappointed that they were kind of oven chips, but I thought they were great chips.
It's a signature restaurant, and it's a fixed price menu, as they generally are in France. So you've only got a choice of like three mains and three appetizers, and I think you've only got two sweets, so you're pretty limited. So we got the steak, and it's steak and chips, and it's not even like, you know, skin on fries or specially seasoned. It's just chips. It's like McCain oven fries.
So chips don't lie.
They were not tasty. It was just the price that you're paying for the restaurant. However, if you asked me, I would still say yes, go, because the steak was very, very nicely done.
And it's lovely themed.
And the theming inside, it was one of those event restaurants.
It was an awful queuing system to get in. Like we were just put in a room, and like people just didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know, are we waiting to be spoken to, or do we have to...
That's my experience.
It was very French.
Of those restaurants.
Yeah.
It was a very
we're
French
all just milling around,
system.
Like looking at each other going like, do we just wait? Do we get called? We had no idea what to do.
The Silver Spur was exactly the same when we went there.
In the end, I think I charged through, right through, and said, we've got a reservation for like a quarter of an hour ago. What do we do? And then they just said, oh, come through. Yes. But I'm not sure if that was the official way to do it.
But it is really good because as you walk, keep your eyes out for these details. As you walk down the corridor into the rat area, which is where everything is big and you're dining on corks and stuff, the floor tiles actually go from human-sized to massive. As you walk down, they get progressively bigger. So it is like you're shrinking. Mm. And the theming in that restaurant is just... I really struggle to say which is better, that or Captain Jack's. And my feelings for Captain Jack's are bordering on romantic. You know, I just love it.
Jack's better.
We were booked for both of those in February. And now we have to do it all again in August.
It's worth it though, Chris. You'll love it. But food-wise, I wouldn't say that was the main event. I hate to say that to you because I bet you wanted us to say something really exciting. Get the steak. It's a good steak.
Mark Riley had hella spicy ketchup on her, in a German market. People might not know what that is, but I think we should leave it like that.
Yeah.
go back to this time last year and watch
hella spicy sauce.
Episodes of this and you'll...
Yeah.
It'll all become
just
clear.
Look for it in cheap shops.
Yeah.
Claire saying, Lion King being the highest grossed animated film infuriates me every day. And so it should.
The live action one.
The live action one. Bob saying there's just no point in remaking a story like The Lion King. No, there isn't. Having said that, I do like Jon Favreau's Jungle Book. I feel like something was brought to it. And what they did with the various celebrities singing the Jungle Book classics, like Scarlett Johansson doing Trust in Me and stuff, I felt like they'd added their own flavour. And that's kind of what you want. Right. It was okay.
Tell me what's your flavour. Claire's just bought her first lounge fly and she's in love with all the designs. Claire,
tell me what it was. Claire, what was it, Claire?
Step away from the lounge flies.
We're not going to end this show until we found out which lounge fly it was, Claire, because I'm just getting ready to wrap up, but I need to...
I have to answer this, though. We all do. Hillary's asking, favourite DLP snack? The mango whip.
Shortbread.
I like the waffles. I like the freshly griddled waffles.
It's the mango whip is our Dole whip, but it's just ice cream with mango sauce on it. But that's fine,
joking.
And it's my favourite.
Mm. Every time we the couple of shows that I've done
Café
with
Lucas,
we've asked about our favourite snacks and
Café
and
de la Bruce.
As I said then, I'll say again now, we've not really done snacking, so it's not something that I've had at all because I've looked and thought there's nothing like what I want, which is what I want is what you see. Disney World,
the Instagram.
And in California, not what.
And the changing so often and the plentiful. The snacking game. If you've been to Florida and not been to Paris, funnily enough, I've recorded a dining video, Lucy's dining tips, and I've recorded it and I'm still editing it because I'm being slow. But one of the things is don't go looking for amazing snacks. The snack game in Europe, it's just not culturally the same to snack the way it is in America. I think that's across all the boards in your shopping malls and everything. It's just not the same culturally, and there just isn't the variety. Now if you're hungry and you need a snack, you can certainly go and buy a cookie or an ice cream or a waffle. They are there, but it's culturally not as big a thing. Basically,
Bob's just said goodbye and I feel bad because I wanted to thank him for my birthday present.
Oh right, you talk about this. I want to...
Bob sent me a copy of his book. Now, interestingly enough, so Bob's got a new book out.
I don't think he was saying goodbye. I think he was clapping his hands.
Oh, I thought he was waving goodbye. Okay, well, firstly, Bob, thank you very much. Bob sent me a book this week. It's his latest book. It's called The First 50 Years. It's Word Search and Other Puzzles About Walt Disney World History. Now, I happen to know from him because he said I was really hoping that the books that I'd ordered would have come so that I could send you one for your birthday, and they haven't, but I've got my own copy that I bought off Amazon. And I said, well, that's fine, because I'll go and buy my own copy. I'm not bothered. And he said, no. But, well, on message, he didn't show
it. Good impression.
Yeah. He said, no. Stuck it in an envelope and sent it to me. So I now have Bob's only copy of this book, but it's not his anymore. It's mine, and he's dedicated it as well, so it's definitely mine. It says, to Chris, happy belated birthday.
Yeah, it says to Chris, but it did say to Bob. Cause
it's crossed it out.
It's crossed it out.
Yeah. It's crossed it out. To Bob, you are awesome.
People saying goodbye to Bob in the chat now. He wasn't even saying goodbye.
See you later.
Yeah. By the way, Claire said it was the Princess Parade Lounge Fly, Tiana Bell and Ariel. A fantastic colour and only for £35.
There you go.
I didn't know it off the top of my head, so I just had to Google it. It's very nice. It's very pretty.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Very, very pretty.
Bye, Bob.
That's good. Welcome to the club. And Dirt stop. Dirt stop. Loungefly is the best.
Until you're on the streets.
Not sponsored.
Desolate.
Although Loungefly, if you'd like to sponsor me, please do. Yes.
Yep.
So you'll all know when you see me sporting a Encanto Loungefly. I have reached my goal. Right, guys, we're going to have to wrap it up now because we went from being a little bit short to going over an hour.
10 minutes late.
My goodness, those people can talk at 37 Disney Street.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So thank you once again if you've joined us live. You add so much flavour to this podcast. I would also almost say you're all co-hosts. So thank you for your hard work.
Don't push it.
We will be back regular as clockwork next week at 8:30. If you're listening to us to on iTunes, if you're listening on iTunes, hello to you too, or Spotify. Don't forget you can leave us reviews. We've had 1-star reviews before. We take it on the chin, but we
not for this show. We
especially
haven't.
Like the no, it was for the other show.
I didn't take it on the chin. I complained for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
On both shows
as to why that wasn't a fair score. Yeah. for the reason they listed, it wasn't fair.
But what I'm saying is, leave us a review. How many stars it is entirely up to you. But even if it's a 1-star review, it helps us get up the algorithm a bit so people can find us a bit easier. So thank you all very much for coming. These have been the boys. I've been Lucy. And goodbye.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, everyone. Bye, everyone else as well.